everyone. Welcome to Seaport Community Church. If you could, please stand with me. We're going to go ahead and pray together before we worship. As always, the words will be up on the screen behind me. If you're in the narthex, make your way on into the sanctuary. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for this day that you've given us. Thank you for the life that we have, the breath in our lungs that you've given us. And thank you for the living hope that cannot be stripped away from us in your Son, Christ Jesus. He died and he rose again and he'll never die again. He conquered death in the grave. He conquered sin itself. And if we have our faith in him, our old sinful nature is crucified with him. Thank you for setting us free from the old man and from sin. And thank you for empowering us. Hallelujah. Empowering us to live a victorious life through your Son. We praise you, we honor you, and we ask that you just be in our midst this morning. Help us to get a greater understanding and a greater depth of your love and your mercy so that we would be made perfect and complete in you, so that we would receive the fullness of life in you, God. We ask it all in the name of Jesus. Thank you so much. Amen. Let us worship.
Praise God from whom all blessings. tension of the now. I don't always understand. I don't always get to see everything. When I'm holding up my hands, when I'm counting every breath, Lord, all I need to know is you choose me. Because You are worthy of it all. For from you are all things, and to you are all things. You deserve the glory. You are worthy of it all.
God, you're so worthy, worthy of our best, Lord, in everything that we do. Lord, may we glorify you in everything that we do, not just here in worship, Lord, in our interactions through the days with people, Lord, how we show and reflect your love and your light to the people that are around us in every interaction that we have, Lord. You are worthy, worthy of our best, worthy that our incense to you reflects your light and your love, that no one can question it, Lord. Lord, we have some awesome events that are coming up, but it's not just to do these events. It's not just to do a cool movie night or have this awesome chemistry show or have some fun on a Sunday. It's about showing people you, Lord, about showing your light and your love to the people that are around us, Lord. Lord, may we give our best, Lord. May our incense arise to you, Lord, by inviting people to these things, Lord, by reflecting your light and your love, Lord. Lord, that these events are not just effective events, but they truly bring people to you, Lord. They show your light and your love, and they bring people to you, Lord. As you encompass them, and they feel your love and your joy, they know that you are the one, that you are the one that is worthy, not anything that we're doing, Lord. Lord, I pray that in the next coming weeks, especially this week and the next week, that we are really reaching out to people, Lord, that we're giving them opportunities to see your light and your love by sharing these events with those people, Lord. Lord, may our, just everything we do be worthy. May our incense arise day and night. In Jesus' mighty name, you are the same today as you will be tomorrow, as you were yesterday, Lord. Hallelujah, Lord, that you are amazing. In Jesus' mighty name, amen, amen. How about just a shout of praise for how worthy he is? Hallelujah, hallelujah. You guys can be seated. That's amazing. Hallelujah, that's right. Well, hey. If this is your first time here, we just want to welcome you. And we do that around here by clapping for you, because we just like to honor you. But we don't want to just clap for you, right? We want to truly connect with you. And the easiest way to connect with you is for you to text the word welcome to the number that comes up on the screen. A little link will come back to you. You have to take a second to fill that out. And then once it comes back to us, just like that, shabam, we're connected. Man, you guys are getting good. And if you'd like to meet Pastor Brad, he is available to meet after service. He'll be in the narthex a little bit after. We have a short meeting after, but right after that, he'll be available in the narthex to meet. If you're looking to connect with us in other ways, we're on Facebook, on Instagram, on YouTube. We even have a TikTok page, so there is lots of places to connect with us. And then if you don't have the Church Center app, there is a little QR code on the back of a seat back in front of you. You can go ahead and point your camera to that, and then it will take you to a landing page with lots of different options like the Church Center app. And you need to have that if you want to register for some of these awesome things that we have coming up. So today, there are people coming public with their faith. Hallelujah. And that is happening at Bluff Point. It's happening at Bluff Point at 2:15. So please make sure you guys come out to Bluff Point and join them and celebrate with them as they come public with their faith. And those that are getting baptized today, we have a short meeting just after service. It's going to be right over here to the left of the pulpit. So make sure you guys come up and talk to us right afterwards. And then Pastor Brad will be available out in the narthex after that. And then if you have not figured out what God wants to use you with, you don't know what your God-designed purpose is, make sure you're joining Pastor Brad for Engage this Tuesday. And for that, you have to make sure you sign up where?
In the app.
In the app. Thank you. And then men's ministry is happening Tuesday at 6:30 on the 11th. This Wednesday, we're having a night of worship, so that's going to be awesome. Make sure you guys join us on Wednesday. And then this Friday, as we were praying for, we have an outdoor movie night. It's going to be The Bad Guys. It's going to be out there to bless the military guys or the military families at Anchor Landing Community Center, just like we did before. But you know what? It takes a lot of work, and I need some volunteers. So it is available in the app for you guys to sign up to volunteer. There's different positions that are available, so make sure you guys sign up for that and join us so we can bless those military families with just an awesome night. And then if you haven't had your baby dedicated yet, because we do have some new ones, right? That's happening on Sunday, next Sunday, July 16th. And then the following Saturday is the Amazing Chemistry Show. And we have, I think, about 240 people signed up for it, or 245, something like that. The numbers are climbing. We're looking to fill this sanctuary because it's going to be awesome. And it's not just for a cool show, right? It's to lead people to Jesus, right? And then Sunday Funday is the following Sunday. So make sure you guys are signing up for that. There is some signups out there for people to volunteer, right? Again, these large events, they take lots of people. So please make sure you guys volunteer for something. And then if there's a craft fair interest, you got to see Pastor Debbie or Lindsay about a craft fair, right? This craft fair, it goes to help benefit all of those children that, you know, got health insurance the quilt sale that we did. We weren't selling rugs, we were selling quilts. But make sure you guys are signing up for that craft fair so that we can continue in that endeavor to help those people in Ghana, right? And so next up, we have Andy is going to come up with Daniel, and they're going to share a testimony about Aftershock, and I think it's going to be awesome.
Thank you, Chris. Good morning, everybody. How you doing? You guys are excited this morning. Praise God. We're in God's house. So, you know, if you don't know what Aftershock is, we had a conference called City Quake where people from the body of Christ came in and just equipped the church on the live as Christ live, our identity in Christ, and how we can walk around and do what Jesus did, which is push back the enemy's agenda in people's lives, that he would bring life everywhere he went. And we call it Aftershock because we're still continuing to go out as a church, and we go out on the second and fourth Saturday at 10:30 a.m. If you want to join us, we meet right in the fireplace room right off of here. We go on the streets. So we bring up different testimonies every week. We try and every week, but I wanted Daniel to share something. If you don't know, Daniel is my son. And Daniel, how old are you?
15.
All right, Daniel's 15 years old. 16, when?
Tomorrow.
There we go. All right, so Daniel at City Quake had a major encounter with God. God shook him up. And God can shake us up sometimes, right? It's very good. And he's continued to go out, and a lot of teenagers continue to go out with Aftershock, Tristan, Reagan, and God is growing them. I mean, imagine starting out sharing at such a young age what you would learn, the experience you have on how to talk to people, and I'm excited about it. So yesterday, we went out, and the boys, my other son went out, Elijah and Daniel, they left us like right away. I couldn't keep up with them. And I was walking with Marianne and Deborah. I caught up with them. And if you've ever been to London, the mural where the squid is, and I was choking a whale or something. I don't know what's going on with it. But it's on the wall there. I walk around that corner and I see them talking to these gentlemen, and they look well-dressed. And we're at Sailfest, because that was an opportunity, right? Yesterday was Sailfest, lots of people out. And I'm like, this is interesting. Why are those guys so well-dressed? So, Daniel, when you went out, what made you decide to talk to those two men out of all the people when you were out there?
They were very nice-looking and confrontable.
Confrontable. So is that another word for they didn't look scary?
Yes.
Okay, so it didn't look scary. So you chose somebody that didn't look scary out of everybody in the crowd. Okay, so what would you share from that experience of going out? You know, you're a young person on the streets. You don't know these people. What was interesting about that encounter with these two men?
Okay, the mic. So they were Jehovah's Witnesses. And I've talked to another false teaching before. And I think what's most important when you're talking to them is to respect them, because especially these two gentlemen, they were searching for the Lord, but then someone came and misguided them to the wrong teaching. So I think it's really important to respect them
Thank you, Daniel. Yeah, and when I walked up, the two men started talking, and one thing they shared was they were just so impressed that these young two men were out also sharing. Because they, guess what? They were out there sharing their faith. They were out there. And they had another team across the street sharing their faith as well. And they were like, these young men are out here sharing their faith. And they were like, I began to ask them, how did you get into this faith? And both of them shared that they were living lives that they were not as happy with, but they saw children in this faith that were respectable, and that's why they decided to join that faith. But then God brought two young people yesterday to them that were living a respectable life, sharing their faith. So I believe that was just a testimony to them that maybe there's more. But they made the mistake of also asking me, well, how did you come to your faith? So I got, we went off on that, and we had just a great connection with these two men, and I really do feel like they're seeking the Lord. I mean, they were hungry, and they were cracking up, I'm joking around with them, but the point is, we made a really wonderful connection with these guys, and they were really seeking the Lord. Daniel discerned, right? I could tell that they were after God. They had moments in their life they shared, and just some other things that happened. It was just really cool. We stood there with those two guys the whole entire time we were out there. So we that's how long we talked with them. But the other teams went out, and we learned yesterday in our teaching, and I'll make this short, we learned yesterday in our teaching about extravagant giving. Now, this is not a message about an offering. It's about living a lifestyle like Jesus, that when you're out with people, you can give your time, your love. You can live a life of giving, right? So some of the team were like, well, Andy, we're going on the streets. Let's stop at the ATM. I want to be ready to give or do something for somebody. I said, okay, we'll stop at the ATM. So they get out of the car, and my team doesn't like me to tell their stories, to bring glory to them. They don't like that, so I won't give names. But one person gets out of the car, and they go to the ATM, and I'm telling you right now, I have a lot of women in my life. I have to wait sometimes, right? So I'm used to waiting and being patient, right? Just be patient. She was out of the car and back into the car, and I was, normally, I didn't even think, we were waiting a while. She said, guess what? The guy came to Christ. I said, came to Christ? You just was in the, out of the car for like three, how did somebody come to Christ? We just got money, and they led somebody to the Lord while they got some money out of the bank account. Got the car. I swear, it was like 5 minutes. And we saw seven people now of the count yesterday come to Christ. And I didn't see any of them. I wasn't there. They told me the stories after. Five young kids gave their lives to Christ. Another person, I don't know if it was an ice cream shop, but then the person at the ATM. So we saw seven people come to Christ while we were still talking and building a relationship with these two gentlemen. So praise God. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Andy. Wow. So significant. Sometimes around here only maybe probably 8 or 10 people in an entire year have come to faith in Christ, and that's what, 6 or 7 on one day. That's an incredible change, isn't it? It's amazing. It's good morning. It's good to see you. I'm Pastor Brad. I look forward to meeting you, those of you that we haven't had a chance yet of meeting. It's great. I want to share a 4-minute video with you, let me set it up for a minute. I'd heard this story before, but I thought it was a mistake, and I just blew it off and never paid any attention to it. Until last Sunday afternoon, I'm standing at our Capitol in Hartford, and a young man who I discovered later was not only a pastor from California, but also worked very carefully with Sean Foyt in conducting these Kingdoms of the Capitol. They're going to all 50 capitals and doing worship, and he began to tell a story, and I stood there and I heard the story, and someone came to me and they said, that happened at your church. And I'm like, what? What? I didn't know it. Later on that day, they did kind of a second stage because of the rain. They did a kind of an inside second stage rally. And it was caught, the same testimony was caught on video. Here it is.
I want you to look at me for just a moment. And if you could kindly just stand. I've traveled with Sean now across America, and when we were coming to Connecticut,
I really didn't realize how much this place was going to impact my life. And I want to be real vulnerable for a minute. You know, in 1998, I went to Teen Challenge. I was from South Carolina. I'm a pastor in California. And I travel with Sean, preaching, giving altar calls. But in 1998, I was sent to a Teen Challenge because I was court ordered. I had a 7-year prison sentence that they suspended to 1 year in Teen Challenge. I went there just because I didn't want to go to prison. And hear me. The reason why I was a drug dealer is because when I was 12 years old, my mom told me that she was a prostitute and she sold her body for crack cocaine. So I had this evil anger that came upon me. I was abused by my stepdad. My real father had been in prison my whole life. And now I'm in Teen Challenge and I learn how Jesus forgives me. Now you guys got to understand, I've been preaching for 26 years. I don't share this stuff all the time because I'm a new creation. But I want to share this here. This is for you. So I'm in this Teen Challenge program, but I decided to give my life to the Lord. And one of the things that I had to do was I had to forgive my mom. You see, I loved her so much, I hated her for selling her body. I hated her for abusing me. So I forgave her and I got set free of all this demonic anger. And I prayed a prayer that night. I said, God, if you're really real, I'll go anywhere. I'll tell everybody. But I want to know how real you are. I don't want to just read about you. I want to know how real you are. Reveal yourself to me. How many of you guys know when you pray those prayers, He does it? I'm a felon. I'm a troublemaker. Not kicked out of high school. In this program with no hope. So my mom, while I was in the program, she moves to Connecticut. Listen. She sleeps with this guy for money. He's a biker from Connecticut, from New London. They end up having my little sister. My sister is a result of prostitution. While I'm in this program, they're in New London. And I've forgiven my mom. I hadn't talked to her for years. And I had a 4-day pass from Teen Challenge to go visit my family. And my mom said, son, won't you come visit me? Now, I hadn't seen her in years. I would always go stay with my grandmother. She said, if you come see me, I'll go to church with you. Now, I didn't know about churches like this. I thought you had to wear, you know, like a Catholic church. So I'd fly to her house in New London, never been to New London in my life. And all of a sudden, I said, Mom, you know, there's these churches. They got rock bands with rock stars. They're cool. So we end up going to this church. I looked it up. It was Assemblies of God. It was Seaport Community Church. Me, my mom, my sister, who's a baby, and her boyfriend show up at the church. Now listen, this is the same mom that I watched go in and out of houses. Left me in cars all night. Me and my mom and her boyfriend go inside and they walk in the church and they start worshiping. And all of a sudden, my mama starts dancing. Now she's like freaking me out because I'm embarrassed a little bit. And then the Holy Spirit speaks to me and said, would you rather her dance in church or strip clubs? And all of a sudden, the pastor gives the altar call and my mom and her boyfriend and my sister, they go to the front and they give their life to Jesus. That day, my mom got saved, set free, completely delivered, on fire for God.
And I would find that out 25 years later.
Wow.
Of course, I knew them. I did not know the backstory. This is why we give.
We don't give to, because it's some churchy thing or something like that. We give because it's changing lives. That's why we give. Amen?
Amen.
It's amazing what God is doing around here. We're on the leading edge of something that's too great for me to even tell you. It's the truth. It's the truth. Let's honor the Lord with our giving, and then we'll go right into the message here. This is printed on all of our, we don't use these things much anymore, our offering envelopes. You can still use them. They're out there at the giving boxes. You can give that way. But it says, the generous will prosper. Those who refresh others will themselves be refreshed. How about that? We give today because we're honored and privileged to give. Amen? And to invest in something. Alva has since gone on. She's gone on to heaven. But, they moved back to South Carolina. Be honest with you. They pulled me up. They pulled me up to the Capitol steps. And the guy that was with them, another guy, he said, hey, bro, that was your church. I said, what are you talking about? It's amazing what God will do. And you don't even know it. You don't even know it. Lives that are impacted. That's why we give. Lord, thank you for the privilege of giving. Thank you. Thanks for the privilege of giving our very lives. At the end of the day, it's not money. It's our very lives. Help us to honor you with our finances. Your promise is true, is that when we're generous, you will bless and prosper us and refresh us. Thanks, Lord. Amen, friends?
Amen.
Amen. And amen. Honor the Lord. You see the ways to give. You can do it in the old style with a kiosk, or you can go online and give that way. The app is the easiest way to give. Anyway, bless you for giving. Appreciate that so very, very much. Even if you're brand new around here, there's no pressure to give. So just know that. But hallelujah. I'm going to release our youth right now. Middle school and high school are going to head out right now with Rolando. You guys can head out right now. If you are visiting with us today, and you can, you're a high schooler or middle schooler, you can go out with them, and they're going to meet for the rest of the service as we're here, okay? Anyway, it's been an interesting week in so many, many ways, and I'll just say this to you too before I share the word with you. Caleb Crino invited some of us to go see him in concert up in Hartford Thursday night. And so I've been to Hartford twice this week, back and forth with stuff. And believe me, he's keyboardist for a very well-known country star. I could care less about the country star and his music. I was bored all night. Bored out of my mind all night. Sorry. Just true. But I was only there for one reason. And that was because Caleb asked if we wanted to be there. And, I just watched this young man playing keyboards there. And a kid that spent most of his growing up years in this church. God has used this church in some remarkable ways. And that's just the stuff we know about. Who knows what we don't even know about? Amen? Let me just say this again before I share the word with you. We didn't miss communion. Communion will be at the end. But if you just live your life for Jesus, he will do things in you and through you that you'll never even discover until you see him face to face. Amen?
Amen.
And then you will be blown away like I've been all week. Lord, we thank you for your awesome goodness and your mercy. Give me strength, Lord, to preach this message the way I ought to. Thank you. Amen, friends. Amen. Yeah, and right at the very end, over here, the end of the service, I'll do. We're going to water baptize at Bluff Point 6 people today. And so you ought to come. Y'all come. And we're going to have a good time. It's just a brief baptism service. You're going to come, and it should be great. Here we go. Let's jump in. You could almost hear him like he was saying this. I mean, it was kind of almost like your grandkids or your kids. Do I have to? He'd been listening to Jesus talk about what you should do if somebody wounds or sins against you, how you should handle that, and the things you should do and not do. And he'd been listening to that, but it was kind of like his mind kind of just stopped and with a question that he wanted to ask Jesus about people sinning against him. And so when there was a kind of a break in the action, or Jesus finished what he was saying, Peter comes to him and he asked this question of Jesus. He said, "Hey, how many times should I forgive somebody who sins against me? Like seven?" Now, Peter knew very well that the rabbis of that particular time, the Jewish teachers of that time, they taught that you should forgive somebody three times for sinning against you. But the fourth time, forgiveness was up. So he saw himself as somewhat magnanimous that he was now going to offer like seven. So he was trying to impress Jesus. And Jesus launches into a story that stops him cold. It's a crazy story. It's a story that just is designed to illustrate an incredible truth. But before I share the story with you, let's ask a few questions about forgiveness. I mean, do we have to forgive? I mean, even repeatedly? Do we have to? I mean, how in the world do you become forgiving when sometimes it's so hard? How do you do that? I mean, isn't forgiving people over and over again just enabling them? Isn't that what that is? I mean, is there a limit to how many times you forgive somebody? I mean, and what if you just can't bring yourself to forgive them? What do you do then? What do you do with that? You know? You heard Jay Koopman's story. Listen to the story that Jesus tells in Matthew 18. He tells the story of a king that's looking over his, you know, accounts receivable. And he sees one particular guy, and he's trying to bring things up to date. And he sees one guy, he's 120 days way over. And he's into the king for millions of dollars. And the king goes, "Oh, this can't stand." And he has the guy brought before him and says, "You know what? You got to pay up. You got to pay up this debt." And the guy looks at him and goes, "You got to be patient with me. This is a big debt. I don't know. I don't know if I can get this thing. I don't know when I'm going to get this thing done." The king has already decided that if the guy doesn't make good on his debt, that he's going to sell him and his entire family into slavery until it is sold. Hard for us to understand, but that was common at that time. If you owed a debt and you refused to pay it, you could be seized and arrested and thrown into prison, debtor's prison, until the debt was paid. The man throws himself at the feet of the king and goes, wait, just give me more time. And the king, instead of saying, "Yeah, here's more time," decides to release him of a debt of millions of dollars. The guy's shocked. He's amazed. He gets up immediately from that place, and he's just been forgiven a million. His life has been radically changed. And he goes and he finds a fellow servant, a guy just like him, that owes him a few thousand dollars, nothing in comparison to the debt that he's just been released from. And he says to his fellow servant, he says, "Look, you owe me money, and I want that money now. Pay up." The guy goes, "Man, we got to be patient with me. I'll get the money to you. But I don't have it right now, but I'll get it to you. I'm good for it." The guy says, "That's not good enough." Has him arrested and thrown in debtor's prison. The same guy. The servants of the king the story gets to them. They go to the king and they go, you know that guy you just forgave millions of dollars to? He went out and found somebody who owed him a few thousand bucks, man, and threw him in prison because he couldn't pay it. That's what you did for him, king. The king said, what? Bring him in here. The king brings the man in and says, you're an evil man. As a matter of fact, I'm going to throw you in prison where you're going to be tortured until every dime is paid. Whoa. That's an intense story. Intense story. I wish I could see the expression on Peter's face when he heard that story. As you listen to that, I want to give you some principles about forgiveness. We're going to walk through some of the questions. But the very first principle is this. We forgive because we've been forgiven so much by our generous King. Where would some of us be if he hadn't forgiven us? Where would we be if we came and we said, forgive me? I just... And he said, no. Where would we be? We stop and we remember the great mercy and the great grace that we've received, and that empowers us to forgive others. When we realize our debt to God was far greater than any man's debt to us will ever be. Mercy. It's not giving a person what they deserve, while grace is giving a person what he does not deserve. But I get it. I understand it. I do. Forgiving people can be hard sometimes. It can be really hard to do it. I suppose there's a lot of reasons, but here's a few of them. Sometimes the pain and the hurt that comes with that offense, that betrayal, that rejection, that sin, that attack, whatever it might be, can create such a strong desire for justice and or revenge or fear that we're so locked onto that that the idea of forgiving doesn't even make sense to us. I mean, sometimes the fear of being hurt again causes some of us to kind of put up the walls, isolate ourselves. We don't want to be perceived as weak, and so we say things to ourselves like, I will never let anyone do that to me again. It's difficult, I get it. Sometimes people never apologize. Maybe they don't even know it. Or they blow it off. They don't show any remorse. It wasn't that big of a deal. Get over it. You're like, what? Sometimes their refusal or their inability leaves you feeling really poorly. I mean, sometimes I think we confuse forgiveness with forgetting. Oh, forgive and forget. Guess what? You never really, truly, completely forget. Oh, once you have truly forgiven, the pain will go out of it. There'll be a lot of, you know, the memories of it won't be as strong. And guess, you know what? Here's a way to know if you've truly forgiven somebody. Is that if you see them or you talk about them, you hear them talk about it, you see them being blessed, you don't have any pain or anger in your heart. That's how you know you've truly forgiven. Or when you bump into them unexpectedly. But guess what, friends? You really shouldn't forget. That's correct. Often there's great lessons to be learned in those interactions that can be a benefit to later. Not like some hardened, like, oh my gosh, I'm not going to let anybody do that to me again. But guess what? You know, maturity means the ability to assess somebody's character properly. Read the book of Proverbs. It's not being judgmental, it's being wise. And sometimes we can learn some important lessons. So don't just forget about it. Sometimes learn the lesson and then go on.
Sometimes we think forgiveness is reconciliation. Forgiveness can come very quickly and very easily sometimes in comparison to the reconciliation. And just because forgiveness has been extended and received doesn't mean that reconciliation happens. Sometimes it can happen very easily. Sometimes it takes a long time. Sometimes there's a lot of work that's got to take place. And both parties have got to be committed. And the offender has got to come with consistency and integrity and honesty and trustworthiness. Not just like, well, let's just get over and start over again. It's not like that. It's not like that. Over the years, I've counseled many couples that have allowed adultery to rack their marriage. And many times, one of them would say, well, let's bygones be bygones. Let's get over it. It doesn't work like that. In the case of adultery, in order, the typical couple will take 2 to 4 years of hard work to recover. Take it from somebody that's walked for 35 years with couples. If they do. And just because, you know, sometimes we think, okay, everything's going to go back. That relationship will never go back to where it was. It'll be different in one way or another. And you got to be prepared. When we say forgiveness, we're not talking necessarily about reconciliation. It might happen. It may not happen. It may never go back to the way it was, even though there's been all of that, because you're just left with all kinds of feelings. And it will take time to rebuild and restore. Sometimes forgiveness is hard because we think that we can forgive only if a person seeks forgiveness. And it is true in the story, there was forgiveness. It was illustrated being asked for. Peter said, somebody who asks, that's true. But guess what? You can forgive even if somebody doesn't ask you for it. You can still do it. It's hard, but you can still do it. Because remember something, forgiveness is always a choice and rarely a feeling. Now, despite all these challenges, there's probably more. Forgiveness has tremendous numbers of and I'm just going to highlight a few of the benefits when you truly step in and forgive from the heart. I mean, there are tremendous benefits to that. I mean, there's emotional healing that often comes into your spirit and into your soul. I mean, forgiveness allows, for the wounds to just begin to heal. Negative emotions are released. You can feel almost a weight coming off of you. That healing begin to flow. To forgive is to set a prisoner free and to discover the prisoner was you. It will improve your mental health. Improve your mental health. Studies continually show that forgiveness leads to improved mental health. It reduces anxiety, depression, and stress. And I wonder if America is the most medicated nation on the planet. I wonder how much of that is related to our refusal to forgive. Amen. I wonder. To receive it and to give it. I wonder. I mean, it will lead to a greater sense of peace and well-being, free you from the burden of carrying around anger and resentment. Do you really want to walk around bent over with anger and resentment? Improves your physical health as well. I don't know if you know this. Studies, again, tend to indicate that will improve your cardiovascular health. And it will improve your body's immune system. And who doesn't want a stronger immune system today? How about that? Maybe there's a reason why we're commanded to forgive. Maybe a loving Heavenly Father who cares about us in all aspects of our lives, not just our spiritual life, but everything about it, wants us to be healthy and strong. Maybe that's why He commanded us to forgive, for our health. It's going to improve your relationships as well. I mean, not only with that particular person that has offended you, wounded you, and we're not dismissing the severity of it at all. I mean, that maybe it'll help build that relationship, or maybe it'll just remove that pain and that anger and that hurt that you carry around that eventually just oozes out of you like toxic waste. You ever talk to somebody
You just talk, have a conversation, just normal, just natural, normal conversation. And you mention something or you mention somebody's name and suddenly everything shifts. You ever been in one of those? Several years ago, I met with a young man. He'd come into the area, and he'd always look me up, and because I knew him since he was a kid, and we'd have coffee and talk. And one day, and so at the end of one of these annual meetings that I'd have with him, I said, "Hey, you know, where's your dad?" His dad was the pastor of a church, and this man had gone off the deep end in horrible ways. And it harmed his family immensely in the process. And I said to this guy, who I knew him since he was 10, now grown well into his adult years, I said, "Where's your dad?" We were just talking like this. Suddenly he looks at me and he goes, "I don't know and I don't care." Whoa. The pain was so great in his life. Improve your relationship not only with that person, but with you and with yourself and with others around you, because you no longer carry all the junk. Yeah, I know it's difficult. I know it's hard. I know it's really hard. But there's another benefit, and let me tell you what this benefit is. Forgiveness can bring dramatic spiritual progress and answers to prayer in your life. Do you know this? There's a passage of scripture that we love to quote, but we very rarely quote the whole thing for some reason. We stop partway through when we need to read the whole thing. It's a very well-known scripture. Jesus said to the disciples, "Have faith in God," Mark 11. "I tell you the truth, you can say to this mountain, 'May you be lifted up and thrown into the sea,' and it will happen." Speaking about any kind of huge mountains that block you from progress and moving forward. "But you must really believe it will happen. Have no doubt in your heart. I tell you that you can pray for anything, and if you believe that you've received it, it will be yours." And most of us go, "Yeah, baby!" But then we begin to pray and we have faith and we command mountains and nothing happens. And we go, "God, I'm doing what you told me to do. How come you're not doing what you said you're going to do?" Because we stopped there. We didn't go to the next verse. But when you are praying, Jesus, same guy talking here, first forgive. Say it with me. First forgive. Not last, not if you feel like it, not if you think about it, not if it's convenient. First, forgive anyone you are holding a grudge against so that your Father in heaven will forgive your sins too. I wonder if that anger you got at God for not answering your prayers is your fault. Because it's like God's already authorized the delivery of that answer to you, but it's being held up by this little lever called lack of forgiveness. And once you pull the trigger and forgive, the answer comes. I wonder. But I don't really wonder. Yesterday, preparing, just finishing up this message, going over these notes, praying for the service, the Lord said this to me. He said, "There are many there. There are many whose answer is being delayed because of this." I went, whoa. I wonder how many of you, that relational, that physical, that financial miracle, God's already sent it to you, but you are holding it up because of a lack of forgiveness. I wonder. It's going to be you that's going to have to examine your heart with the help of the Holy Spirit here in a few moments. It's going to have to be you. Forgiveness does not change the past, but it does enlarge the future. That's a potent thought, isn't it? To forgive means to release. I can't tell you the numbers of times I've seen people truly forgive, and suddenly they go, "The pain in my body is gone. Nobody prayed for me." I said, "Oh, yeah. It was held up because of lack of forgiveness. Now that you did that, the answer's come. I can't tell you how many times I've seen that happen. Forgiveness, here it is. When we forgive, great blessing comes into our lives. But maybe you're sitting here and you're saying this: I cannot forgive. Pastor Brad, you do not know what they did to me. You're right, I don't. And you're right again. You can't forgive. You can't. In your own strength. You can only do it in God's strength. You'll never do it in your own strength. Those deep wounds that have transformed your heart and life in some terrible way, you need the power of God to give you the strength to extend forgiveness from your heart. You can do it even if that person is like, my friend, I don't know where they are. Don't care. Or maybe they're dead. You can still forgive. I would encourage you to write a letter to that person. Maybe they'll never read it. They'll never see it. But you can write it, and you can write that letter, and you can say, you know what, you did this. It made me feel like this, but today I choose to forgive. It's not easy. I get it. I understand it. But how long do you want to just be locked where you are? Don't you see? Some of you are locked behind those mountains because you choose to be. You choose to hang on to your anger and your bitterness and your unforgiveness. You choose that. And thus you stay locked. God didn't do that to you. You did that to you. Can we change that today?
Yes. Amen.
Examine your heart. There's no condemnation coming from me. I'm passionate about seeing you freed and blessed and stepping into everything that God has for you. But if you choose to sit there in your bitterness and your anger and your hatred and your unforgiveness, you choose it, and that's where you'll sit the rest of your life. Sounds kind of ugly to me. It's kind of ugly. You need God to help you. Grace is God as a heart surgeon, cracking open your chest, removing your heart, poison that it is with pride and pain, and replacing it with his own. Whoa. Yesterday again, as I was working on this message, I could feel God saying, yeah, how about you? There was nobody here except me, so he was pointing at me. And I get it, friends. You know what? Sometimes we hear messages like this and we go, I think I've forgiven everybody. Maybe you have. Maybe you're living in self-deception. Maybe that. Oh, who could have a grudge against me? I'm an amazing person. Maybe you're not as amazing as you think. Maybe the Holy Spirit will speak to you like he's been speaking to me. What about that situation, Brad? What about that? Well, you know, Lord, I can hear myself going, I'm justified. Oh, boy. Ouch. He don't let me off the hook. As a matter of fact, he's tougher on me than he is on you. Because that's what he's supposed to be. I'm like, oh, man. You mean I actually have to live this and preach it too? Forgiveness. We forgive because Jesus commands and empowers us. Those of you that come here regularly know what this means. Make sure your seatbelt is fastened and tight. Jesus comes to the end of this parable. And I didn't tell it all to you. He comes to the end of the story, the parable. Shouldn't you have had mercy on your fellow servant just as I had mercy on you? Then the angry king sent the man to prison to be tortured until he had paid his entire debt. Whoa. But wait a minute. There's one more verse. in Matthew 18, verse 35. Jesus said this. That's what my heavenly Father will do to you if you refuse to forgive your brothers and sisters from your heart. I know some of you want to look in your Bibles to see if it's in your Bible. It is. It's in your Bible. Unless you got some real funky version, then you should get rid of it. It's in there. That's intense. If we refuse to forgive, according to what Jesus said, I mean, notice something. He repeats it. He reiterates it. Matthew 6 in the Lord's Prayer, not once but twice. He tells us in the Lord's Prayer to pray this way. God, forgive us as we forgive those. And then at the end of the Lord's Prayer, when that 66-word prayer is done, it becomes a pattern for prayer. At the end, he comes back and he reiterates the importance of forgiveness and that God will not forgive us if we refuse to forgive others. Boy, there's a price here, isn't there? Forgiveness isn't just some optional thing. It's a command. Not a suggestion. We walk through these commands. We've got more to go. Some of you are like, oh my gosh, if I can take any more of these. It's a hard scripture. I thought about this scripture. Who's Jesus? Who's the you here? Who's the you? There's Peter. There's the other disciples who become apostles. They're all right there. And there's other people listening. He's talking to followers, not random people. And I think there's a couple of reasons why he said this very stern word, because forgiveness is so powerful and he gives it so freely and so liberally. But I think this too, you can follow Jesus, or not really from the heart, but you can follow Jesus. But if you're not willing to forgive, maybe that indicates you really haven't had a full experience with him. Or maybe it means that if you and I claim to follow Jesus and have had a true experience with him and yet have hardened our hearts to the point where we cannot legitimately forgive people, we're in serious spiritual trouble. If you're sitting here and you're saying, I can't and I won't, you're in serious spiritual trouble. You'll find yourself separated from God. I didn't say it, he said it. But Jesus doesn't leave it there. I know some of you think, I thought only Adam preached hard sermons. And Jesus finishes up by simply saying this. Look at those last three words. From your heart. Sincerity is demanded. There's so much more to this topic, and it probably created some questions. And if it did, I'll be glad to try to answer those at some point. Because I know sometimes it's confusing. But what I want you to do right now is I want you to take this communion cup in your hand. And before you open any part of it, some of you have been fidgeting with this thing the entire service. I don't know if that's conviction or attention or what that is. I could hear this the entire. You're trying to make sure it shook up or something? I don't know. But take that in your hands right now. And before we do anything, communion is about examining our hearts, taking a moment to examine our hearts. And the band, I want you to come back right now. And I already did communion with the band before the service, so they're ready to lead. We're going to take a moment right now. And I think you've heard reasons why this is so important. And I want you to take a moment right now. And I mean, I'm not going to encourage you just to jump up and go out and take care of something. The Lord speaks you to do that. I mean, I've actually been in services where the Lord has said to me, you get up right now and go straighten it out with that person. And I've left services and done it. Jesus said to, Matthew 5. But let's take a moment right now. Examine our hearts. This is what I do. I say, Lord, I don't trust myself. Examine my heart. If there be any wicked way in me, show me. And he does without condemnation. It's not a condemnation thing. Let's take a moment. Because this is what we're going to do. We're going to take care of that. Then we're going to celebrate his great gift. He's given us so much. He's forgiven us. Look at this and see, this is his forgiveness to you. You can forgive others, can't you? What he did on the cross? God, by your Holy Spirit right now, as the service closes, we heard how Jay asked you to forgive and set him free, and he was set free. And God, the blessing that God, that you brought into his life these 25 years has been amazing. How much blessing, Lord, do you have prepared for us if we'll only relent of our pride and our hurt and forgive? Right now, Lord, help us. Release your grace right now to help us. God, you're speaking to us. And God, there are people's names and images of their faces that are coming right to us right now. Help us to forgive. Spirit right now. Forgiveness is a choice. Whether you feel it or not, the feeling will often follow the decision. What you need to do right now is this. You need to say before the Lord, Lord, I choose to forgive that person for this. Don't add, don't put a but on there. Just do it. You say, well, what about this and what about that? The Lord will help you figure that out, and I'll help you too if you need me to. Because I know it's sometimes complex. Lord, may we be right before you before we partake so that we can rejoice. Pull the little cover off the wafer, the symbol of his broken body. He hung on that cross for one reason, and that was to gain our salvation, so that we could be forgiven and be right with God. Aren't you grateful? Take and eat. Pull the cover back of the juice. The juice represents his shed blood. There's a lot of imagery here, but very simply, it represents his blood from which we get the remission of sins. He exchanged his life for ours. Take and drink. Stand with me. We're going to sing this song as we get ready to close. A mighty cross. I need to emphasize this one piece and make sure. The Lord told me to emphasize this with you because he's ready.
He's ready to release great blessing into so many of your lives. But he's waiting for you. How painful must that be to so want to bless you, but not be able to do it because you choose not to? You know, that's painful to him. You know that, right? He just wants me to tell you, he's ready. But he's waiting for you and for me. Some of you will step into the greatest seasons of your life. But he's waiting for you. Don't keep them waiting, okay? Let's sing.
On the day that death surrendered to the mighty cross of Jesus Christ, the earth would shake beneath the weight of darkened sky.
Jesus.
stand ready, Lord. Help us to respond. We can step into all that you have for us. Thanks, Father. Amen, friends. Amen. You don't even know how amazing it's going to be when that which He has already authorized flows into your life. He's just waiting for you. Hallelujah. If you need prayer for any reason, just come up here. There'll be a team up here. They'll pray with you about anything that you have need of. If you need to meet Jesus, they'll help you with that. Those six of you that are being water baptized, I just need a very few minutes with you. I'm going to meet you right over here where I sit. All six of you, we'll give you a t-shirt. Join us if you can at 2:15. Anyway, God bless you guys. Have a great Sunday. Hallelujah. If you need prayer, come up here. You can be baptized. Go over there. Thanks, everybody.